This is an MUT Radio podcast.
It's exactly 12 after 8, and you are still tuned into the Vukubangene Breakfast Show right here on MUT Radio. And we have someone with us right now.
Yes, we do have Umam Zandile Shange. She is here to speak a little bit more about World Blood Donor Day, which is today, right, Ma? Yeah, so we are going to find out a little bit more about that. How are you feeling this morning, Ma?
Right, I'm great. Thank you for asking.
Oh,
Zandile Shezi.
Yes, sorry, I apologize for that. It's Welcome. Lovely to have you with us this morning. So just to kickstart, can you please tell us the significance of World Blood Donor Day?
World Blood Donor Day, we're basically celebrating our donors.
Right.
Thanking them for the great gift that they're giving to people out there. Maybe if we briefly look at donation on its own, I'd always say that donation is an act of giving without expecting anything in return.
Right.
And that is basically what our donors are doing. Mm. They're giving blood to strangers, people whom they've never met before, without any form of payment.
Yeah.
It is giving the gift of life.
Right.
A gift that money cannot buy, nor science can create. Mm. So we are saying thank you to all the donors out there.
That is so beautiful. Can you please tell us how people can be eligible to donate blood? Like, is there a process that they have to go through in order to qualify to be able to give blood?
Yes, there is. There is a selection criteria. We don't just take anybody as a blood donor because it's important to ensure that the blood that you're giving to patients is safe.
Right. Mm.
Is very safe, you know, with all the diseases that are out there. Yes. There is a selection criteria that a donor must undergo before you can even donate blood. And it is basically done to safeguard both the donor and the recipient, which is the patient. First and foremost, if you're a first-time donor, you must be at least between the ages of 16 to 75. Mm-hmm. We don't take minors below that, no elderly people above that. And you must weigh at least 50 kilograms or more. Must be in a good health. You must be in a good health. Basically, consider your blood safe for others to use. Mm. And once you get there, we do further selections, if I should say that. We call a donor for a donor interview because we're trying to get a bit more about your lifestyle, that how you're living. Can we give your blood to the next person? Mm. And then you go through that. There's also a set of questionnaires that you also complete. Mm. We must also check your health. We do a finger prick to check your hemoglobin, that if we take your blood, aren't you going to suffer maybe from infections as well, diseases as well. Yes, you must be safe as well. And then furthermore, on collection of blood on its own, we draw samples for you for viral markers.
Right.
It must be tested for viral markers, and we must know your blood type as well, so that your blood will be given to a suitable recipient.
Oh, that's amazing.
Or a compatible, recipient.
Okay. Like, what are some common misconceptions or myths that people have that you've heard about donating blood? Like, people believe some really scary things, like, would see maybe they'll be in danger of sorts when giving blood. Can you, like, clarify, maybe?
There are myths around giving blood. Some people, I mean, I'm from a Zulu background, obviously. Right. We believe that my identity is in my blood. My whole ancestral thing is in my blood. So giving a part of me to somebody else, like, giving a part of Amadlo's identity to somebody else, and that people are not really at ease with doing. And some other common factors that we have is religious beliefs, that because of my belief, I can't do it. It might be Christian or things like that. So it is basically that. It's not really true, but it's what people believe in. And a bit of donor education does help when it comes to that, that it's not really like that.
At all.
Yes.
Definitely,
right.
Definitely.
Can you tell us how donated blood is used and how you guys distribute it to the patients that need the blood?
Okay, If you're donating blood, in most cases, you'll donate a whole blood.
Yeah.
And then we take that 1 unit of blood, we spin it down, we separate it into 3 components.
All right.
Which is red cells, platelets, and plasma. So okay. Basically, with one donation, you're able to save 3 lives
Yo.
All at once. Yes. So it's beautiful.
It is.
It is. Yeah. And then, but it does happen that sometimes you'd find that a patient tested positive for a certain viral marker,
right.
And you'll be deferred as a red cell concentrate donor.
Mm.
But such people can still donate plasma. And we use that plasma for various reasons. In most cases, it is used to make vaccines.
Mm.
You know, when you're taking your hepatitis B immunization, that is basically made of somebody's plasma that was hyperimmune with hepatitis B virus. So being deferred as a blood donor does not mean that you're deferred completely. You can still donate your plasma and you can still donate your platelets. As I've said, that blood is made of 3 components, so it depends of where you fit.
Yeah.
And then that blood is given to hospitals where it will be used in most cases by surgeons for different reasons. Maybe a person is going for a procedure it is used for theater, for maternity patients as well, postpartum patients, things like that.
That's
so sometimes it's used for chronic illnesses. Your cancer patients, they need a lot of blood. They come on monthly basis for blood transfusion.
Sure.
Yes.
That's amazing.
That's definitely really amazing. Mina, I have, I think, maybe a question for me that, like, if I am a consistent blood donor, am I in any way going to be somehow prioritized when it comes to me needing blood again, you know, since I'm donating blood? Or it's just the same, Inje. It's purely voluntary, and I'm going to be in the waiting queue now.
You don't take priority, unfortunately, for this one reason. Remember that our donors are unknown to the patients.
Right.
So you might be in that hospital and receiving your own blood, not knowing that you're receiving your own blood. So we don't even know if you're admitted in the hospital. We don't even know that you're a blood donor, because we don't know our donors.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. So you're treated as a patient. It's just like everybody else.
Okay. No. I definitely get it. I'm not sure if there's anything else that you'd like us to know, Mhlambe, in terms of donating blood. Maybe other things as well. Also, with regards to our myths, like umuntu utuzo upume eshawe inzululwane laphayana and all of those things. What causes that, and how do you guys deal with such cases?
That is why it is advised that you take a meal, like a snack or something, before donating. Mind you, you are losing fluid when you're donating. It's roughly about 350 mils.
Yeah.
So that's a whole lot of blood that you're losing in your body. So if you take your snack prior to donating, you shouldn't really have any problems. But if it happens that you have the dizziness, or you faint, because it does happen sometimes, you always have professionals on sites. We have our sisters on sites, people who will take care of you should that happen. But it doesn't really happen often. No, it doesn't.
Okay. No, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming through and sharing with us this very important information with regards to donating blood. I'm not sure if you are going to be here on campus today, SANBS taking blood donors, or not today.
Not today.
Okay. No, that's not a problem. I was just making sure so that we can maybe refer our students. Guys, if you want to donate blood, actually, if you want to donate blood, what can you do as a student in Mhlambe? Should I be on the lookout when you are on campus, or are there any like blood stations where I can go?
The nearest here is Mega City.
Okay.
There is a donor clinic in Mega City. And besides that, we have a lot of social networks. There's a Twitter handle, there's Facebook and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're a person that uses a lot of that,
social media.
Or social media, please do join us. Then you will know of what is happening and when things are happening.
Oh, nice.
Yes. You can even Google it. But we do encourage people to become donors. Mm. Yes,
oh, okay.
Yes. We really are. I
don't know.
That's nice.
It should be
okay. I'm a donor.
I'm lucky dashing you for not being a donor.
Okay,
what
I
black
get
group
you.
Are you?
All positive.
You're all positive. Yes. Okay. Yes. We want.
I mean,
more
like
more
you kind of need it when I.
We need your blood too. We need everybody's blood, in fact, because it is very painful to know that there's somebody in the ward that is waiting for
blood.
A product, and the person cannot go for a procedure.
Yeah,
you know, people can even die because of that. So these are all preventable deaths as long as we are willing to donate. And really, there's nothing to be afraid of when it comes to donating blood. It's just allows a 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. Yes. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
The worst thing is putting the needle in, honestly.
Even that is not so bad.
Yeah.
Even that is
I think
bad.
The good thing about it is knowing that you're doing a good act.
Yeah.
A good deed. You know, somebody needs it.
Yeah, that's very true.
Definitely, definitely.
Thank you so much, Mama Sandy. We had a great time.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.